Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would open your Bibles to John chapter 10. We're going to read just the first 18 verses, and our focus will be in verse 10. John chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. This is God's word. "Truly, I tell you, anyone who doesn't enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all his own outside, he goes ahead of them. The sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never follow a stranger. Instead, they will run away from him because they don't know the voice of strangers." Jesus gave them this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Jesus said again, "Truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, since he is not the shepherd and doesn't own the sheep, leaves them and runs away when he sees a wolf coming. The wolf then snatches and scatters them. This happens because he is a hired hand and doesn't care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. But I have other sheep that are not from this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice. Then there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have the right to lay it down, and I have the right to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Jesus is talking about sheep. He's talking about a subject that most of us in this culture know very little about. We're not, most of us, well acquainted with sheep. Now, we have sheep on the property, and we think that looks pastoral. It makes some nice PR pictures. And every now and then, some children have the opportunity to interact with the sheep. But for the most part, they do their thing and we do ours. When my wife and I first started the ranch, someone suggested that it would be a good thing for some of our students to have some market lambs as a 4-H project, and they were willing to provide the market lambs to us. And so here came the market lambs. They were adorable, just little bundles of fuzz, just as cute as could be. And they received names like DC Ba. That was based on DC Talk, which was a very popular group back then. Snowball, I think, was another one. They were real cute little names. The affectionate names changed over time to be things like Lamb Chop, because what became evident as these adorable little lambs began to grow is that sheep are stupid. I mean, really stupid. You've never seen trained sheep in an animal show, have you? You've seen trained dogs, maybe trained cats. They even train rats. Pigs are actually quite intelligent. Dolphins and killer whales have been known to be trained. But sheep? No. Tigers, lions, and bears, oh my. Yes, they can all be trained. Sheep? Just dumb. Really dumb. And yet God in his word tells a group of people, many of whom were shepherds throughout their history, including King David. God tells these people, you are my sheep. And the amazing thing is, he loves us. He really loves us. And Jesus describes himself as being the good shepherd. Now you may remember that David, as a young man, told King Saul that he was ready to go and fight Goliath because he might not have military experience like Goliath did, but he had experience as a shepherd. And he said, when a lion came and attacked my father's sheep, I killed it. When a bear came and attacked my father's sheep, I killed it. In other words, those animals, those predators, those big scary beasts were in trouble if they attacked the sheep that David was in charge of. Wow. I like that attitude. My wife has displayed that attitude before. When a big black bear came onto our deck, and my wife went out on the balcony and said, get out of here. You know you're not supposed to be here. And the bear turned and lumbered away. I'm married to a brave woman. She was on the upper balcony. The bear was down below. She's not an idiot. But David was willing to face predators in order to protect the sheep because those were his father's sheep. And Jesus talks about being willing to lay down his life. What does that mean? It means that he would die on the cross to pay for our sins. The only way that we could be saved was the sacrifice that Jesus would offer in our place. Because all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us. It's not some of us have messed up. All of us have messed up. It's not some of us deserve hell. All of us deserve hell. There are some people in our culture today who are very upset if you suggest that they are guilty of sin. You know, how dare you? Don't judge me. Hey, I'm not saying anything about you that I'm not saying about me. All of us have sinned. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Yeah, I'm saying you deserve hell, but I'm saying I deserve hell. It's the human condition. Everybody has sin. 1 John tells us, if we say that we're without sin, we're only deceiving ourselves. The truth isn't in us. All of us have a sin problem. But God, in his mercy, sent his son to save us. And the way that our great shepherd saved us was by laying down his life as the sacrifice for sin.
If you enjoy learning about biblical truths on abiding in Christ, you won't want to miss this opportunity to join Jim Wood as you journey to the land of the Bible, Israel. Preaching since he was only 15 years old, Jim is well prepared to share insights at each location you visit. Visit wvr.org/Israel to learn more about this April 2019 travel opportunity with Jim Wood.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Now, what Jesus did, even though he did it voluntarily, was not suicide any more than the young man in Knoxville putting himself between a drive-by shooter and the young women who were with him was committing suicide. He died in the process of saving them, but he was putting his life in harm's way in order to save others. And that's why he's considered a hero instead of a fool. Dawson Trotman, the founder of a wonderful organization called the Navigators, died in a lake holding someone else above the water so that they could be rescued. There are people in the military every day putting their lives on the line in order to protect the rest of us. There are people in law enforcement who put themselves in harm's way in order to protect the rest of us. That is not suicide. That is sacrifice. And that is noble. But tragically, in our culture, we also have a huge increase, close to 25% increase in the rate of suicide. And recently, a lot of news has covered the stories of celebrities who've ended their lives. People who were rich and famous, popular, and they just couldn't take it anymore. Absolutely despairing of life, they chose to end it. Where does that come from? Jesus tells us in verse 10. Jesus says, "A thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance." Jesus comes offering an abundant life. Satan's goal is to try and bring destruction and death. From time to time, I share the story of a fellow who called me on the phone some years ago. He said, "I want to kill myself." And I said, "I don't believe you. The reason is because you called me. Being talked to death by a Baptist preacher is a slow way to go. If anyone could do it, I'm your man. But the fact of the matter is, you called me because you don't want to kill yourself. If you wanted to kill yourself, you would have reached for any number of things that are lethal, not a telephone. The reason you called me is that you do not want to kill yourself. You want to live, and you're hoping I'm going to talk you out of killing yourself." He said, "You're right." That hadn't occurred to him because he'd believed a lie. Where do these lies come from? The father of lies. Who is that? Satan. He is the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and he uses lies. He persuades us that we want to do things that we don't want to do. How many of you have done something only to say to yourself afterwards, why did I do that? How many of you have had that experience? Yeah. We've all had that experience. Everybody does stuff only to regret it afterwards and think, what was I thinking? Why did I do that? Because Satan's very good at what he does. If Satan were to show up in your life and say, hello, I am here to destroy you, but I need your cooperation. I'm not allowed to just attack. If you would be so kind as to cooperate with me, we can really mess you up fast. Here's what I need you to do. How many of you would say, okay? No. If the devil identified himself as the devil and told you that he's out to destroy you and he wants your cooperation, you'd say, get out of here. I don't want to do what you say. Why would I want to destroy myself? But instead, he shows up and he says, that looks good. And you know what we think? That looks good. He says, you deserve that. We think, I deserve that. He says, nobody has to know. And we think, nobody has to know. We think, I'd like that. And then afterwards, we got a mouthful of regret. What was I thinking? Why did I do that? I don't even like that. But Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, some people have been following his lies and doing what he says over and over for so long that they don't know how to do anything else. I mean, it's an absolute pattern. They're addicted to destructive behavior. Our culture is filled with people who are addicted to destructive behaviors. Not just drugs. In some cases, it's food. Too much of the wrong stuff. Why do we do that? Why do we engage in the kind of driving that you see every day on the highways? Not to mention around town. But people who drive as if there's nothing between their ears except dead space. There are now, according to reports I've read, as many people who are having accidents related to texting while driving as there are drunk driving. And we still have a lot of people who are having accidents drunk driving. But it's not okay. You understand? It's not okay. You're not just risking yourself, you're risking others. And there are people dying because of this all the time in our country. Why in the world would you make a big deal out of that? Because people are dying. It is self-destructive behavior that has the potential to destroy other lives as well. And when you know somebody who lost a child because of texting, and suddenly it becomes important. There are people engaged in all kinds of sexual behaviors that are destructive. They're destructive. Why would a person do that? Because the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Sexually transmitted diseases in our country are epidemic. Well, I thought we got rid of that problem. No. If you are in most cities in this country, the Center for Disease Control said that in the average population in this country, I think it's 1 in 4 are currently carrying a sexually transmitted disease. One in four people, okay? In New York City, the last time I checked the stats, it's like one in three instead of one in four. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's one in five across the country and one in four in New York City. But just stop and think about that for a moment. That means in a typical slice of the population, if there are four people sitting in your row, one of them is carrying a disease that doesn't just give you a rash. It'll destroy your health and potentially your life. You understand this? And yet, the media, the movies, the books, the magazines, the music, are all telling us that everybody ought to be out there doing whatever they can with whomever they can get to go along with it. That's crazy. That is crazy. It's evil. If you don't believe in God, you ought to at least believe in germs. You understand? And yet we're living in a culture where knowing what we do scientifically, medically, people are continually engaging in behaviors that are medically stupid. Do you know, if you follow God's plan for how marriage is supposed to be, you don't have that kind of problem? We're living in a world and in a culture and in a society where people who have been enormously successful at attaining what Satan said would make them happy, got what Satan said would make them happy, and plunged into despair because it didn't make them happy. You know what? Being rich won't make you happy. One of the richest men in world history was asked, how much money does it take to make a person happy? His answer, just a little bit more. No amount of money will satisfy. How about fame? Oh yeah. Look at how happy all the celebrities are. That's why they end up in drug rehab. If they live, drugs won't do it. Fame won't do it. Sex won't do it. Money won't do it. Power won't do it. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. And if you want an abundant life, you need to follow him. That's what he said. He calls his sheep by name. And they know his voice and they follow him. You follow Jesus, you'll have an abundant life. I thought sometimes you've told us that if we follow Jesus, it's going to be hard. It'll be hard. You'll have an abundance of that too. But it'll be good. There's nothing as exciting, nothing as joyful as following Jesus. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. He proved it by laying down his life for us. He took the punishment we deserve for all the messes we've made. And he conquered death for us. And now he says, follow me. And his sheep hear his voice and follow him. You're living in a world where you're going to be tempted by the destroyer. All of us are. But you don't have to fall for it. Test the spirits. Examine those thoughts. Take every thought captive to the Lordship of Christ. And if you're having self-destructive thoughts, know where they come from. Know that he's a liar. And listen to Jesus instead. Because Jesus says, come follow me. I came so that you could have life and have it abundantly.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. www.abiding.org.